Good afternoon, everyone. Gen Z, they just might be talking smack about you behind your back, or right to your face in some cases. But you'd be none the wiser, as this slang-savvy generation has adopted lingo that's been found in video games to their ever-expanding vocabulary. In a TikTok video with over 1.5 million views, Harvard-educated linguistics expert Adam Akelsik likened the rise of gaming terms to that of commonly used sports metaphors, and we'll explain them all. In the headlines on the update this Monday, two NYPD officers that were involved in the fatal shooting of Kawasaki Trewick inside of his Bronx apartment 5 years ago will not face internal discipline, according to NYPD Commissioner Edward Caban. We'll have the latest details. We're remembering a news icon in Robert McNeil, who created the even-handed, no-frills PBS newscast The McNeil-Lehrer News Hour in the 70s, and co-anchored the show with his late partner Jim Lehrer for 2 decades. He's died at the age of 93. Jalen Brunson, he didn't know where things stood as the Knicks were deep into their final game of the regular season. That mentality by Tom Thibodeau drove him to one of the best regular seasons in franchise history, which he capped with his 11-40-point game to carry the Knicks into the number 2 seed with an overtime win over the Bulls. And the attacks on Israel over the weekend created new questions about replenishing aid to war-torn Ukraine after months of tumultuous Republican infighting. This is the update on Tax Day, Monday, April the 15th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Monday. It is the start of a brand new week for us together around here. I hope all of you did enjoy your weekend, whatever activities you decided to do. You know, we're in spring break week. It's fast approaching. And for this school year, it goes to May 1st, which when I told my brother about this, he's like, you have too many days off. And I'm like, if you have a problem with that, go complain to the people at the Department of Education, because I don't create the academic calendar. But yes, with spring break going all the way to May 1st this year, the excitement, the anticipation is in the air. Before we can get there, however, we must navigate more rainy weather for midweek, although today and tomorrow have temperatures in the 70s. Today's supposed to be like 80 degrees, actually, if you're in the sunshine, and that's a silver lining on things. By the way, happy tax day, everybody. That's sarcasm, of course. I learned that somewhere. but yes, you have until 11, I believe it's 58 or 59 p.m. tonight to file your taxes. Get them done. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Monday's proceedings with two NYPD officers that were involved in the fatal shooting of Kawasaki Trewick inside of his Bronx apartment 5 years ago. Well, according to Police Commissioner Edward Caban, over the weekend, they will not face internal discipline. In this statement, Caban said that the officers, Brendan Thompson and Herbert Davis, quote, acted within the law in the lead-up to the 32-year-old's death. He accused the city's police oversight board of waiting too long to bring administrative charges against the officers, adding that they were not guilty of any criminal conduct. The 2019 killing of Trawick, a black man, by a white police officer, touched off widespread outrage across this city, followed by years of frustration over what some of them viewed as efforts by the PD to stall the investigation into his death. Ellen and Ricky Trawick, the victims' parents, described the commissioner's ultimate determination as disgraceful. They added, quote, the utter disregard they have for our son's memory to make this decision on the 5-year anniversary of his death is disgusting and shameful. Now, on to some of the other news of this Monday. A DOE worker was busted for allegedly sending inappropriate texts to 4 boys, according to the NYPD. Police have identified the suspect as 35-year-old London King and charged him with 4 counts of acting in a manner injurious to a child and aggravated harassment. The court documents identified the defendant as London King. King was originally arrested around 2:30 on Thursday afternoon for allegedly sending harassing text messages to an underage boy on March 6th, according to the authorities. King was released without bail, but then he was arrested just the next day after 3 additional complaints for alleged incidents on October 20th, January 4th, and March 1st. King was then released without bail over the objections of the Bronx District Attorney's Office, according to the court records. Neither King's job title or school assignment could be confirmed over the weekend, and neither the Bronx DA's office or the DOE returned messages seeking comment. We all know that this city has had a battle with rats for several years now. And now lawmakers are proposing some rules to humanely drive down the population, not just rats, but other rodents, eyeing contraception and a ban on glue traps as alternatives to poison or a slow, brutal death. Politicians, they've long come up with creative ways to battle these rodents, but some lawmakers are now proposing city and statewide measures to actually do more. Here in New York, the idea to distribute rat contraceptives got fresh attention in city government on Thursday, following the death of Flocko the Owl, of course, who was found dead with rat poison in his system. City Council member Sean Abreu proposed a city ordinance on Thursday that would establish a pilot program for controlling the millions of rats lurking in subway stations and empty lots by using birth control instead of lethal chemicals. Abreu, who is the chair on the Committee on Sanitation and Solid Waste Management, said that the contraceptives are also more ethical and humane than the other methods. The contraceptive, called ContraPest, is contained in salty, fatty pellets that are scattered in rat-infested areas as bait. It works by targeting ovarian function in the female rats and disrupting sperm cell production in the males, according to the New York Times. Over in Manhattan in the West Village, a strap hanger apparently was violently shoved onto the train tracks by the same man that he moments earlier helped climb off of the same roadbed. This bizarre altercation kicked off at the West 4th Street station at around 4:45 in the afternoon on Saturday when the suspect bumped into his victim, igniting a verbal altercation that quickly escalated to violence. The 34-year-old suspect, who has a lengthy rap sheet, fell, and we're using fell in quotes, onto the southbound A-train tracks during the brawl, according to the NYPD. The victim, who's also 34, helped the man back onto the platform, but was rewarded with a punch to the face and a push that put him on the roadbed where his assailant had just landed on. Fortunately, though, in between, no trains pulled into the station before a bystander could help the second man to safety. Officers who are already in the station rushed to the scene and deployed mace on the instigator. He was taken into custody and brought to Bellevue for treatment. The victim, in this case, refused treatment. Charges were still pending over the weekend, but law enforcement sources said that the suspect had 21 priors to his name, including robbery and assaulting an EMT. Meanwhile, the news world is mourning the loss of Robert McNeil. He created the even-handed, no-frills PBS newscast, The McNeil Lehrer News Hour, in the 70s, and co-anchored the show with his late partner, Jim Lehrer, for two decades. He died on Friday at the age of 93. McNeil, according to his daughter Allison, died of natural causes at New York Presbyterian Hospital. McNeil, he first gained prominence for his coverage of the Senate Watergate hearings for the PBS and began his half-hour Robert McNeil Report on PBS in 1975 with his friend Lehrer as a Washington correspondent. The broadcast became the McNeil Lehrer Report and then in 1983 was expanded to an hour and renamed the McNeil Lehrer News Hour. The nation's first one-hour evening broadcast and the recipient of several Emmy and Peabody Awards. It remains on the air today with Geoff Bennett and Amma Nawaz as the anchors. It was McNeil and Lehrer's disenchantment with the style and the content of the rival news programs on ABC, CBS, and NBC that led to the program's creation. He, of course, is going to be very deeply missed. Meanwhile, in Manhattan, over at Grand Central, a man is now facing assault charges after the NYPD said that he slugged a 9-year-old girl in an unprovoked attack on Saturday. 30-year-old Jean Carlos Zarzuela, who was free without bail despite allegedly punching an elderly woman earlier this month, was hauled out of a precinct in Manhattan in handcuffs Sunday to face a court arraignment in the latest shocking attack, according to the MTA police. Zarzuela is accused of approaching the little girl, who was a Bronx resident, at around 11:50 in the morning inside the terminal and punching her without warning. The girl was left dizzy and in pain and taken to NYU Langone Tisch Hospital, according to sources in the NYPD. Zarzuela, who initially fled the scene, is already facing assault charges for allegedly punching an elderly woman in the head back on the 4th, according to the court records. To Long Island we go now, out of Nassau County, where they've just lost their bid, Nassau County, to block the state from taking legal action against its ban on women's and girls' teams that include female transgender players, according to State Attorney General Tish James. U.S. District Court Judge Nusrat Chaudhry dismissed Nassau County's lawsuit, seeking to prevent the Attorney General from taking legal action against the county for its ban, which James has said is, quote, transphobic and violates the state's anti-discrimination laws. James's office said in an emailed statement on Friday, quote, "This decision is a tremendous victory for justice and the rule of law, but our work here is not yet done. It's past time for Nassau County to rescind this order and treat all our communities with the basic respect and dignity that they deserve." The office declined to say whether, when, or if it will sue to block the ban, saying that it will review the decision, which was handed down in Central Islip in federal court. The executive of Nassau County, Bruce Blakeman, who issued this ban, vowed to appeal, saying himself in an email statement, quote, "We vehemently disagree with the decision." Meanwhile, up in the Bronx, back up in the Bronx, I should say, over the weekend, two people were killed and three others were injured after a BMW collided with a Nissan Rogue and then slammed into an elevated subway pillar. And the crash happened around 4:15 in the morning underneath the 4 train at the East Fordham Road station on Jerome Avenue in the University Heights section. The BMW was traveling northbound on Jerome Avenue when it collided with a Nissan Rogue heading eastbound on Fordham Road and crashed into the column. An NYPD spokesman said, quote, "The BMW then struck an elevated train pillar." EMS transported the 23-year-old male driver and a male passenger in his 20s to St. Barnabas Hospital, where they were pronounced dead. Three women in the Nissan, the driver and two passengers, were taken to the same hospital, but they're in stable condition. The NYPD is also investigating if speed may have played a role in this deadly crash. In other news, you might not have known it, but this week marks the 500th anniversary of Italian explorer Giovanni de Verrazzano's arrival in New York Bay. And commemorate it, drivers should get a toll break on his famed namesake bridge. At least that's according to a local politician. The Verrazzano Narrows Bridge, of course, which connects Staten Island and Brooklyn, was opened in 1964 and named after the explorer who entered the bay on April 17, 1524. Representative Nicole Malliotakis, the Republican from who represents Brooklyn and portions of Staten Island, said to the New York Post, quote, "It's fitting that the MTA make his namesake bridge free for the residents of the two boroughs it connects on April 17th to celebrate the 500th anniversary of Verrazzano discovering New York Bay. Verrazzano would be rolling in his grave if he knew about the cash grab this money-hungry agency was conducting in his name, which they even misspelled for decades," she added, referring, of course, to the MTA's infamous spelling error of the explorer's last name on one of its signs, giving him only one Z. Malliotakis quipped, quote, "He'd probably even sue for defamation." Malliotakis has already issued a congressional resolution honoring Verrazzano and acknowledging the 500th anniversary of his discovery of the bay on behalf of the French monarchy. And finally, it's definitely Frankenstein. Do you get it? Because it has to do with the dog. The world's most monstrous hot dog, 65 feet long to be exact, is coming to the Big Apple, Times Square to be more specific, on the 30th, April 30th. The creation is the brainchild of Brooklyn artist Jen Catron and Paul Outlaw, who will be taking, quote, "street meat to new heights," those are their words, not mine, with their tempting but not real tubular steak sculpture, according to a Times Square Alliance. This spectacular animatronic installation comes with hydraulics and bursts of confetti. Free and on view to the public 24/7 through June 13th, Hot Dog in the City consists of a colossal bun and classic red-tinged Frank topped with a giant drizzle of mustard. The artists, who relish using food in their work, said the hydraulic mechanisms will raise the sculpture skyward at high noon and shower the passers-by with confetti. Catron quipped, quote, it's the perfect representation of Times Square, America. And you know what? Maybe exactly it is. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Monday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and talk about how the Knicks, they finally got the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference after their thrilling overtime win over the Bulls in the season's final game. Now they have to wait to see who they will actually face in the playoffs. We're going to talk together, of course, the latest national news. Over the weekend, those attacks on Israel by Iran, they've created some new questions now about whether replenishing aid to war-torn Ukraine will actually happen after months of tumultuous Republican infighting. And at the end of the broadcast today, Gen Z, of course, they might be talking smack about you behind your back or right to your face, either or. But you'd be none the wiser, of course, as this slang-savvy generation has adapted lingo that's been only found in video games into their ever-expanding vocabulary. However, you might be able to combat that. There's a TikTok video with 1.5 million views, and in it, Harvard-educated linguistics expert Adam Alexic liken the rise of gaming terms to that of commonly used sports metaphors. So on this Monday where we are just wallowing in the sunshine, you know, it's a beach day early in April. How about that? But don't get used to it because we are just going downhill weather-wise as we go to the middle of the week and we're fast approaching spring break. So on this Monday, we're going to talk about all that I mentioned, and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. You know, when my partner and I got together all those years ago, she told me that she was going to be the best girlfriend partner that I was ever going to have. Now, nearly 6 years later, I continue to remind myself every day that she was right. It really doesn't get any better than her. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Brandon Julian. You know, folks, of all of the podcasters and the news anchors in the city of New York, I just so happen to be one of them. I just think I'm a little bit different than the rest. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street Jackson Heights because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train, or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer, an MTA employee, or use the help point intercom in stations. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, out of the great big ballpark in Queens, known as Citi Field, Mets and the Royals are wrapping up their series. But before the game, they had a ceremony for the one and only Dr. K, Dwight Gooden, who had his number 16 retired by the Mets in a very elaborate ceremony. And it was a game worthy of Mr. Gooden, because there was a good pitcher's duel out there. But Harrison Bader broke a scoreless tie with an infield single in the eighth. Edwin Diaz earned his first save at Citi Field since October of 2022. But then again, we don't talk about October that year. Regardless of that, the Mets edged the Royals 2-1. Bader said after the game, quote, "That was obviously not the most conventional way of scoring an RBI, but it did get the job done." Jose Buto, who got the start for the Mets, and the Royal starter Cole Reagans matched zeros for six innings in a crisp pitcher's duel. The Mets stranded a ton of runners yet again, nine of them over the first seven innings, seven runners exactly between the fifth and the seventh, before Chris Stratton, who took the loss, walked the bases loaded in the eighth. With two outs, Bader had a slow roll in the third, and Michael Garcia was unable to make the barehanded pickup. Over in Cleveland, Yankees and the Guardians. Yankees trying to go for a sweep of Cleveland, but the Guardians, they had some other plans. Andrés Giménez hit a sac fly, and it capped a three-run rally in the 10th as the Guardians, they salvaged the finale of the three-game set, winning over the Yanks 8-7. Down 7-5, the Guardians scored three in the 10th off of Caleb Ferguson on a force out, a fielder's choice, and a sac fly. First-year manager Stephen Vogt said, quote, "We're not going to quit. And that's one of the things I heard the boys yelling on the way back up to the clubhouse. We don't quit. And that's what this group is about." The Yankees, who were a perfect 10-0 when scoring at least four runs, had taken a 7-6 lead in the 10th on Anthony Rizzo's two-run single off of Tyler Beede, who eventually would get the win. And from the diamond, let's go out to the hardwood. Knicks and the Bulls going at it. The regular season finale across the NBA. Knicks, of course, were still fighting for that number two spot in the playoffs. Jalen Brunson, he didn't exactly know where things stood around the NBA as the Knicks were deep into that final game. A win meant the number two seed, but if they lost, it was going to keep them at number three. Not much complaining, much of anywhere. But Tom Thibodeau's team didn't worry about who it will play next week. It just wants to beat the one in front of them that day. Thibodeau said, quote, "I think when you have competitors, it doesn't matter. Competitors compete." And that mentality drove Brunson to one of the best regular seasons in franchise history, which he capped with his 11th 40-point game of the year to carry the Knicks to the number two seed in the Eastern Conference with a 120-119 overtime win over the Bulls. The Knicks finished 50-32, their best season in about 12 years since they went 54-28 and also earning a number two seed in the 2012 season. They moved past the Bucks after they had lost earlier in the day against the Magic in Orlando. And they'll await the winner, the Knicks will, of the play-in game between the 76ers and the Miami Heat, which will happen on Wednesday. Of course, the attacks on Israel, it's creating some new questions about replenishing aid to war-torn Ukraine after months of tumultuous infighting within the members of the Republican Party. All of the news organizations are urging the presumptive presidential nominees to agree to debates, saying that there have been a rich tradition that have been part of every general election campaign since 1976. And of course, beach season on the Jersey Shore is almost here, and if last year is any indication, it will soon be time to pack the voodoo dolls, the whoopee cushions, the zip ties, and the denture powder. What do all those things have to do with each other? Well, we'll tell you, because national news, it's next for us around here, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long, news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update with Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the Update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to the Update, Brandon Julian, on Monday, everyone. Sort of a brand new week for us together around here, marching ever so closer to spring break, which is to May 1st this year. God bless the Department of Education calendar this year, I swear. But of course, also happy tax day to everybody out there. That's sarcasm, of course. This is completely unrelated, but, with taxes, I always feel like I want to be a kid again, you know? Yeah, I want to be a kid again, how when someone feed me, change me, do my taxes. I actually have to change when I see my taxes. It's embarrassing, really. Might be fun to be a kid again. Who knows? Anyway, folks, thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we are going to begin, of course, in Washington, where the attacks over the weekend on Israel by Iran, it sparked some new questions now about replenishing aid to war-torn Ukraine after months of tumultuous infighting in the Republican Party. Excuse me. Iran's unprecedented flurry of strikes on Israel, it sparked some new urgency in Congress for additional military aid to the Jewish state as various Republican factions are seizing on the development to further their arguments on Ukraine. The odds of Ukraine aid being taken up this week now appears to just be a long shot. Senator J.D. Vance, the Republican from Ohio, told CNN's State of the Union yesterday, quote, "We're stretched way too thin with the number of weapons systems that we need, Ukraine needs, that Taiwan needs, that Israel needs, and we can't do all of these things at once." When you're stretched too thin, you've got to focus and you've got to rebuild your own country. Can we possibly fight all of those conflicts at once? No. Vance contended that the U.S. should be encouraging Ukraine to, quote, take a defensive posture against the Russian invasion of their lands and place more focus on Israel instead. In other news, we're going to go up north to the Black Hills of South Dakota, where a Native American-led nonprofit has announced that it has purchased nearly 40 acres of land in the Black Hills amid a growing movement that seeks to return land to indigenous people. The Cheyenne River Youth Project announced in a statement back on the 11th that it purchased the tract of land adjacent to Bear Butte State Park in western South Dakota. The statement said, quote, "One of the most sacred places for the Lakota Nation is Matapaha, now part of Bear Butte State Park. Access to Bear Butte was severed in the late 19th century when the U.S. government seized the Black Hills and broke up the Great Sioux Reservation into several smaller reservations." Julie Garrow, the executive director of the project, said in the statement that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 1980 that the U.S. had illegally taken the Black Hills. The court awarded the Lakota people $105 million, but they refused to accept the money because the Black Hills were never for sale, according to the statement. Garrow said, quote, "Opportunities to reestablish access to sacred places are being lost rapidly as metro areas grow and land values skyrocket, which contributed to the organization's decision to buy the land." Back here in the city limits in New York, the news organizations, 12 of them yesterday, they urged the presumptive presidential nominees in Decision 2024, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, to agree to debates, saying that they were, quote, "a rich tradition that have been part of every general election campaign since 1976. While Trump, who did not participate in debates for the Republican nomination, has indicated a willingness to take on his 2020 rival, President Biden has not committed to debating him again. Although invitations have not been formally issued just yet, the news organizations, they said that it was not too early for each campaign to say publicly that it will participate in the 3 presidential and 1 vice presidential forums set by the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates. The organizations, they said in a group statement, quote, "If there is one thing Americans can agree on during this polarized time, it is that the stakes of this election are exceptionally high. Amidst that backdrop, there is simply no substitute for the candidates debating with each other and before the American people, their visions for the future of our nation." ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, PBS, NBC, NPR and the Associated Press, they all signed onto the letter. In Milwaukee, a man allegedly murdered a college student after a date and then dismembered her body with a saw and spread the remains all across the city, according to the court documents. 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson was charged with murder on Friday for allegedly killing 19-year-old Sade Carlina Robinson, who vanished after excitedly heading out for a date allegedly with him back on the 1st, according to CNN. Robinson was studying criminal justice at Milwaukee Area Technical College. She reportedly chatted with an employee in her apartment building about how excited she was to be going on a date that night, according to a criminal complaint against Anderson. She texted the suspect before the pair met up to eat, quote, "I'm feeling seafood." But when Robinson failed to show up at the pizza joint where she worked the next day, friends and coworkers began to raise alarms. Police made a welfare check at her home, but failed to find her. This must be the miracle that happened off the ice. In Cleveland, a man said that he was, quote, "meant to be there to protect a 4-year-old boy from hitting square on by a hockey puck that flew into the stands during an AHL game last week." 28-year-old Andrew Podolak struck down the rogue puck headed straight toward little Nazir Davis during the third period of the Cleveland Monsters hockey game last week. And his quick reflexes sparked a friendship with the boy and his mother, Asia Davis. The tensions were high on the ice and several fights had broken out before the puck flew off it. Asia Davis detailed the horrifying near accident in a viral TikTok, describing how the puck came, quote, out of heaven straight toward my son's head and he blocked it. My son had chips of ice in his hair. And finally, we're going to go down the Jersey Shore and go to Brick in New Jersey, where the beach season, as I mentioned before, is almost here, and if last year's any indication, it'll soon be time to pack the voodoo dolls, the whoopee cushions, zip ties, and don't forget your denter powder, too. Those are just a few of the bizarre items plucked from the sands of the beaches of Jersey last year by volunteers with the Clean Ocean Action Environmental Group, according to a report that the group released on Thursday. Nearly 3,700 volunteers picked up and disposed of over 176,000 items along the state's 127-mile coastline. Many were mundane and sadly common, like bottle caps, cigarettes, and plastic pieces. And then there were the oddities. A 50-pound bag of rice, a Baby Yoda doll, a severed Barbie head. And then there was the food fryer. Who even brings a food fryer to the beach, and much less leaving it behind? Also left were boxer shorts, a bra, a bikini, fake eyelashes, fishnet stockings, and a jock strap, along with a pregnancy test. The result of it, unknown. That sounds like something that Gen Z would definitely do. And speaking of Gen Z, they just might be talking smack about you behind your back, or in some cases, right to your face. And you'd be none the wiser, as this generation has adapted lingo only found in video games to their ever-expanding vocabulary. However, you can combat it. In a TikTok video with 1.5 million views, a Harvard-educated linguistics expert, Adam Alexic, likened the rise of gaming terms to that of commonly used sports metaphors. I'm going to talk about this, folks, because your honorable mention is next, when the update of Brandon Julian continues.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, it's a big holiday tradition, you know, it's the fruitcake. I love all the holiday traditions, as Jim Gaffigan once said. You know, like the Christmas tree. My birthday's right next to Christmas. Christmas tree, you know, we go chop a tree, we go put it in our living room. Sometimes I think that's the creation of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up, honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room? I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus. And then I'm gonna hang my socks over the fireplace. Fill them with candy.
Maybe I could tie some leads to his signal and see if I can get some action. And now I'm going to peep down this catch. Merry Christmas. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Monday, everyone. Start of a brand new week for us together around here on this tax day. The weather definitely cooperating for once. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, there is just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. Lots of people say things about Gen Z. From what I've heard, they've ruined several things. They've ruined several things Gen Z has. But thankfully, I am not Gen Z. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull this up on the computer that we have here in the studio, because I was born in 1997. I should probably click the thing to make sure it works. If I was born in 1997, which generation am I? Thank you, Google. I guess I am part of Gen Z. Oh, damn it. But this doesn't apply to me personally, so I'll just say that right off the bat. because apparently with Gen Z, that I do not know, they just might be talking smack about you behind your back or right to your face. But you, some people, would be none the wiser, because Gen Z, as I've learned, because I work with a bunch of people, teenagers that are part of Gen Z, they are a slang-savvy generation. They've adapted lingo that's only been found in video games to add into their ever-expanding vocabulary. But thankfully, you might be able to get some help. In a TikTok video that has 1.5 million views, Harvard-educated linguistics expert Adam Alexic likened the rise of gaming terms to that of commonly used sports metaphors, like swing and a miss, or coming out of left field, which I like to use because I'm a baseball person, you know? Or words that originated from chess centuries ago, like check or pawn. Now, according to Alexic, otherwise known online as the etymology nerd, quote, "We're now in a whole new ballgame of people having a shared cultural knowledge of video games, so we started drawing on that as a way to express our reality." And studies show that societies consistently create metaphors out of shared traditions because that's how people best understand each other. I'm still reading the thing as I just found out, because apparently Gen Z was born between 1997 and 2012. Thankfully, I still have some people who are Gen Z. It's so sick. While, of course, the video derived words like NPC or side quests might be used in a mostly ironic way now these days, the seemingly silly slang could be taken on a more serious connotation in the future, he added. So you should brush up on these new additions to the unofficial Gen Z dictionary. Starting, of course, with NPC. It's an abbreviation, of course, for a non-player character. It refers to any virtual character that is not controlled or manipulated by a player and is instead a static, pre-programmed fixture of the game. Outside of the screen, though, when the term NPC is used as a descriptor, it's an insult to mean anyone who is boring or lacks independent thinking, blindly following an ideology without question. Next up is side quest. And of course, I know this because I've played games before. I have. In video games, of course, a side quest is an additional undertaking that is an offshoot of the main storyline. Like when my wife and I play Borderlands, Occasionally, we will do a side quest, but we mainly focus on the main mission. In real life, though, side quests might refer to additional hobbies or other tasks that are not related to a person's primary occupation or already established interests. This could mean a person has taken a liking to new extracurriculars that are unexpected or uncharacteristic. Nerf. 90s kids, like myself, and early 2000s kids will remember Nerf blasters and the raucous chaos that ensued during a living room standoff as foam pellets volleyed through the air. Now, to be nerfed, then, means to be reduced in effectiveness, its meaning adapted for online gaming and subsequently into real life. And the last one is where we drop it. This is specifically now for the Fortnite people among us. I think I love to get Fortnite. In games like Fortnite, though, players drop onto a specific place on the virtual map. So, where we drop in refers to team strategizing about where to land for a better chance of success. This really refers to asking what the plans are or where you're going. Viewers of Alexix's viral video offered up their own game-inspired slang, like low on HP or health points, to describe being tired, or lore, to refer to the backstory of someone. And if you think this Gen Z lingo is just confusing, then just wait until you hear about GYAT. It's spelled G-Y-A-T-T. Ijabol. It's I-J-B-O-L. And Menti B, which is just a fraction of the ever-growing list of, phrases that are beloved by this internet-savvy generation, but annoy their elder colleagues. And I'm sure we will talk about this a lot more in the days and weeks to come. I will let you guys ponder on this, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. Monday, April the 15th, 2024. As the update on this Monday, I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next episode of My Favorite Episode series, we're going to reflect on the conclusion of year one of this program and celebrate the show's first anniversary. That's right, it's the one-year anniversary show. We'll talk about that in May after spring break, and we'll tell you the date when we actually cross over into that. So, of course, as you enjoy the sunshine and the summer-like temperatures for today, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me, folks. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, please be well. And honey, you know, they say every step is a step closer to forever. I'm nearly halfway to Mexico. I don't know why. Enjoy the warm weather and the tax day, everyone. I know some people won't. We'll talk about the weather and the road to spring break continuing when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.